leading off with the big story of the day. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
We had plenty to hear.
KKFX on HDU2, Denver Boulder.
The offensive line is led by senior tackle Tyler Columbus. He's really good at being offensive. He offends just about everyone.
How are we?
Doing good. Let's go.
What's up?
Schedule, baby. Schedule. Look at the weather's freaking sweet.
We're back. We're back. Where's our guy Vance? The weather's back.
Rockies tied up with the Padres, bottom five. On a gorgeous day down there, Coors Field.
There it is.
Let's play two, baby. Oh, my man. By the way, real quick, and we'll get going with the schedule here in just a second, but, man, Frost and the Nuggets, they don't even, like, have to win. They can't help themselves.
Yeah, I know, man. It's pretty amazing.
They're playing out in Charlotte.
Could easily argue that they were better off losing. They just can't help themselves.
The game doesn't really matter all that much.
Goodness, these guys are very, very impressive.
They just keep winning. Hopefully the Avalanche gets a couple more wins going on, and we'll follow that, and we're a week away from the playoffs with both those teams. And I had to laugh just a little bit. My man Josh Bye, my guy Zach. I knew somebody would either say it or get close to it, but more or less, Zach, you said week one is a must win game. You more or less said. Week one is a must-win game. You said, if I'm... Zach, you can pull up a microphone and defend yourself here just for a second, but what I just heard you say was, because of the teams that they're playing, if they... You know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what I heard.
I would say you better win a handful of those first three games, that's for sure.
All right. Zach, week one must-win game for the Broncos of the season, the 17-game season is just toast.
I never said week one was a must-win game, but I do think they need, if you plan on, there's no more 500 ball here, all right? There's no more 500 ball. If you plan on winning more games than you lose, you have to be 2-1 after that three games. That's where I'm at. Like, if you're 1-2, if you're 1-2 and you're looking at the Ravens, at the Steelers, a short week against Cleveland, like... I said to Stoke, I'm not sure if they lose that game. I think Vic Fangio might go down in Broncos history as the only coach to never be above 500.
Dude, I'm with you entirely. Look at this schedule right now. This is like the opportunity of a lifetime to bounce back. They gave you three gimmies to start the season.
It's best case scenario for Vic.
If you don't take advantage of that. What are you doing?
You got three
gimmies. You got the number one overall draft pick in week two. You got the number two overall draft pick in week three. You got the Giants who suck in week one. I mean, give me a break.
If you're Vic Fangio,
Vic Fangio might get fired if you don't go 2 out of 3 in those.
I mean, seriously, it could get ugly. It could get ugly. So look, I don't think I think I'm putting the proper emphasis on the start of this season. Vic Fangio's 0-7 in the month of September.
I'm with you.
You could not have drawn up. Is there a more winnable three game stretch than the first three games of the season?
I love it.
This is like Cupcake Central as far as like scheduling. If you could just have a, this is like a college schedule. This is what that is. Like when you schedule your out of conference games before your conference begins, you go out and you schedule McNeese State because you got to get the cupcake wins, right?
That's right.
The NFL just gave the Denver Broncos McNeese State for your first three games. And that's what they gave you. And yes, I recognize that we're McNeese State as well. I get it. I fully recognize it.
Hey.
But it's McNeese State against McNeese State right now.
In the first three games, the Broncos from right now, as this statement is true right now on May 12th, in the first three games, the Broncos will be playing three quarterbacks with a combined 2 years of experience, and they're both Daniel Jones.
You're just not going to a bowl game if you lose your first three out of conference games. You're just not doing it.
Must win game.
And I said this, and this is the last thing I'll say. I'll let you guys take over, obviously, but I think it's even more of an emphasis if they choose to go with Teddy Bridgewater. Mm. If you're going with the veteran quarterback, to start the season because he's got the higher floor, you better win those football games.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
See you, buddy.
That's what schedule release day is all about. It's added an extra game. We don't really know who's going to make the playoffs or how things are going to fish themselves out. If they don't go 2-1, then the first three games of the season is over.
Pretty much. Shoot, they gave us McNeese State. They gave us Nickel State. They gave us Louisiana Lafayette, wherever Stokely went to school.
Nice.
I mean, goodness gracious. They gave us the Gibbies. Let's go.
Let's go.
These little town blues.
Jerry, Judy, baby, let's go.
Come on! Let's go!
Tim Tebow's probably going to be starting for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm going to make a brand new start.
Oh, man. Man,
New York.
You know, this is absolutely... it was funny because I was like, who's going to say it? Who's going to... And I just flip on the radio and there's my... guy Josh Bye and Stoke, and I got you. You're into it too.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then I put out there the obvious that the least important of all the NFL games are your road non-conference game, and it just so happens the Broncos start with a road non-conference game, and the blowback.
Oh no, not true, not even close to true, dude. One of the most important games on your schedule is your easiest road game,
right?
Because you have to split your road games. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it and you say, okay, what are our road games and who are going to be our easiest opponents?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the games that you circle and you say those are must wins because we might not win those other road games. And if you don't split on the road, well, then you've got no chance of going to the playoffs. So that's not true.
Okay. So, well, we're playing the NFC East this year, so...
Thank God.
They all stink.
Right.
So...
Gift from above?
All right, little question here, because I don't see it so far in the worst schedule release ever, because everything just drips out throughout the day. Boy, I'd be really impressed if somebody knows this, but hit us up. If the Giants are one of our non-conference road games in the NFC, who's our other non-conference road game? Is it the Cowboys, Philadelphia, or who am I missing there? Washington football team. Now, Washington football team, we know it's not. So it's because that's a home game on week 8. We're seeing that. So what is it? Is it the Cowboys or the Eagles that is our other road game?
Oh, no.
Okay. So... But I see what you're saying. You're saying, but see,
I'm saying no matter what, you're saying you got to,
it's more important what your road record is than who you play on the road.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. You have to split your games on the road. And if you don't split your games on the road, you're not going to go to the playoffs.
So
it's really as simple as that.
We'll have to look at our. But
so you should circle all these NFC East games, any game that we're playing on the road as a must win. That's what it should be.
Right, but your division games are always more important no matter what.
I get it.
So your three road division games, no matter what, are important.
But it's much more likely that we will lose to the Kansas City Chiefs on the road or the Chargers on the road or the Raiders even on the road than we should be to lose to the New York Giants or the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, okay, so you would, by that logic, you would say, well...
When the games you're supposed to win.
Your least important road games are games that you are just such a wicked underdog. So the Chiefs road game is actually not as important as the Giants road game.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I mean, of course it's more important to win in the division. But what I'm saying is when you've got a game that you're supposed to win, you got to win it because there's absolutely no guarantee that you're going to beat the Chiefs, that you're going to beat the Chargers or anything along the lines.
Would you agree then there's some sort of value between some...
Why? You trying to like back me into a corner here? Like
I go through this semantics argument with
I
people
hate your semantics
every year because everybody wants just because of that. What we just heard with Zach, Like, if they go 1-2, the season's over.
Statistically speaking, that's true almost every single year.
But we literally do not know what the landscape of everything's going to be now because it's the first time they're ever going to play with 17 games.
Pull up the stats. Show me what it says.
We've never had a 17-game season. We don't know the stats.
You can guess. You can come as close as you possibly can based off the stats that we do have.
It's okay. I put it out, and everybody was like, well, I'm still going to watch the game. The game's important. It's like, well, I didn't. I was like, you know what? Forget it. Because this is the greatest thing, and I don't want to rain on people's parade, because what everybody does love about schedule release day is somebody in the world, it was Mike Evans last year, will say game one is a must-win game. And it, when it happens, and that was Mike last year, he literally came up with that, and it was like, oh, okay. And clearly it wasn't, but, I mean, the Broncos lost a lot of games that were important.
Well, see, I don't like the way that you de-emphasize the importance of any game in the NFL. That's what makes the NFL so beautiful, is that you've only got 17 of these things. There are only 16 of these things in the past. This isn't baseball. You don't get any gimmies. You can't take a week off and go 0-for. You can't go 0-for-5 and still bounce back.
No, I get
it. Dude, if you start the season 1-3, the likelihood of you making the playoffs is probably like 8%.
In a 16-game schedule, that could be true.
Make it 12% in a 17-game schedule.
We don't know yet.
Sure.
This is the first time we're going to see what it's like. It's all those, what if there was...
Every game matters.
Of course.
Why are you even fighting the semantics right now?
Because it's a dose of reality in an unrealistic situation. Maybe I just shouldn't. It just seems to this crazy hype. Somebody actually asked me, they go, well, wouldn't you rather play the Giants in week one than the Chiefs?
Yes.
And my counter argument was actually no. I'd rather have 4 months to prepare for a game like the Chiefs when you have your full complement of players and you're 100% healthy to try to beat the biggest opponent in your division, and I'd rather have that game at home.
No chance. Who do you think is going to be better in week one? Patrick Mahomes or Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, who've been splitting the reps throughout all of preseason? Who do you think is going to be prepared to win that game, buddy? Yeah, I would much
prefer. So Aaron Rodgers isn't on the Broncos?
No, I'm not counting on Aaron Rodgers being on the Broncos. If he's on the Broncos, let's go. Party time. I mean, fantastic. We're going 17-0. I don't care. But no, I'm not counting on Aaron Rodgers.
All right, here's what we know so far. At the Giants, at the Jags, home against the Jets. I think, you know, this is what's being reported at least. And who knows, maybe people reporting that aren't right, but it seems like they know what they're doing. Week 3 against the Jets, then home against Baltimore. Week 5 at Pittsburgh. Week 6 hosting Vegas. And then we've got week 7. It's unconfirmed. It's dicey. At Cleveland Thursday night. I don't know. Week 8, hosting the Washington football team. Week 11, a bye. Week 14, hosting Detroit. Week 16, at Vegas. Week 18, against the Chiefs. So much for, like, the, you know, we've got to fill in the holes there. But, the schedule release day is kind of abysmal. And I'm going to guess most other teams know as much as we do right here.
Oh, yeah. Dude, have you been looking at Twitter today?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, the majority of the teams, actually, their entire schedule is out there. We're one of the few teams that we've still got a few to look forward to at 5:45.
All right, well, the Broncos, because they have a last-place schedule on the surface, have one of the easier schedules on the surface of any team in the NFL.
Yeah. Now, if we know anything about the NFL, it never works out that way.
Of course not.
No, of course. I mean, do we think that the entire NFC East is going to be as bad as they were last year?
We shouldn't.
No, they won't be. Somebody will turn it around. Somebody will have a fantastic season.
Right.
But all we've got is what we've got right now. We've got the information that we have.
Right.
And based off the information that we have right now, this is Gimme City. This is Cupcake Central. This is if Vic Fangio doesn't find a way to win two or three games in September, the dude has got problems.
I love it. Yeah, on paper, it's about as easy as you can get.
Yes.
So far. I mean, Giants, Jaguars, Jets to open the season?
Think about it. Oh, okay, do I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to be better than Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater? Duh. But will I take my odds in week two against a rookie?
Right.
If we're ever going to play the guy, I'll take it in week two against a rebuilding franchise. Do I think that Zach Wilson is going to be better than Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater in week three? No, I don't.
No.
Yeah, I love it.
I do too. The Broncos should have a great start to the season.
Yes.
I love it. And I told you, like yesterday, I bet you when we do this, we'll be predicting a 10-win season.
Yeah, we'll see.
And we're seeing reasons right here. I mean, our extra game is the Lions. That's the 17th game that we got added, the Lions. Well, I mean, you know, come on, man. There you go. That's a good one, and it's at home.
I'll be shocked if we've got too many people to come up with 10 wins. That's awfully optimistic, my friend.
I'll be do you want to have some fun with it right now? I mean, we could just go through it really seriously with the games we know right now and
sure.
Just see where we're at. Hold on, let me get a pencil here. Now, we can
toss
do this.
Toss me one of those as well.
Yeah, I'm running short. Whatever. There you go.
You know, those are not like your pens. It's like everybody works here. Anybody could use those pens that are sitting right there, right?
Did I use a pronoun the wrong way?
You said, I'm running a little short.
Oh, well, it's just, would you like the pen cup?
No, I just, the way you said it, it made me feel like nobody had the right to use the pens that are in that pen cup.
I apologize for using the wrong personal pronoun the pen. I said, we are running a little short.
Perfect.
The proper way. You're baiting me now wearing a suit, Richie. I don't know. Do you have an explanation that would take up like 5 seconds so I don't get anybody in trouble?
Sometimes you just want to look nice.
Yeah, good enough. I'll go with that. I'm going to do this two ways for you, for the games we know.
Okay.
Bridgewater, lock, just that's one thing. Okay, so BL and then AR. All right, just for fun.
I mean, should we do like three ways?
Mm-mm, because we don't know BL.
Mm.
We got to, and by the way, after doing the fan film room, they're the same guy.
Oh!
I've watched like three games now.
Okay.
It's the same dude. We got the same guy.
That's not even close to true, but okay.
In my opinion, we got the same guy.
I'll say this. Win-loss record, you pretty much got the same guy. Yeah.
So, good job, George Payton. You got the same dude. way to go. BL. We'll do BL first.
Good.
Denver at Giants. I'm going to do Tyler and D. At the Giants, win or loss?
Here we go. All that optimism, I'm starting out with an L.
Yeah, me too.
I do not like the fact that we are splitting reps going into the season against a Giants team that was actually pretty tough last year when it was all said and done. Starting out with an L.
I agree. At Jacksonville.
I'm taking a W.
Me too. Against the Jets at home.
Dude, the Jets suck. W.
Me too. Against Baltimore.
L.
L. Me too. At Pittsburgh.
L.
Me too. Home against the Raiders.
Coin flip. What do you want it to be? You're coming off two losses there. All right, I'll go on the optimistic side. I'll give it a W.
Me too. Thursday night, the only, and we'll get to the national televised stuff, against at Cleveland.
Thursday night, you got the short week.
On the road.
On the road. Terrible. Almost never win. Cleveland's pretty good team. I got an L.
All right, me too. Washington football team.
Ooh, where's it at?
Home.
Fitzmagic versus our dudes. All right, I'll stay on the optimistic side. I'll give it a W.
Me too.
That's another coin flip, though.
Host in Detroit.
Give that a W.
And me too. At the Raiders.
I'm going to split it with the Raiders. I got the win at home. I got the L on the road.
Wow, we are boring. Me too. And home against the Chiefs.
Obviously an L.
All right, me too. Where do we
see the Chiefs? Why don't I see the Chiefs?
Yeah, because that's not there, but it's been...
What week is it?
Week 18.
Week 18.
That 1,000, that has to be a division opponent, and I've seen other reports saying that's going to be the Chiefs.
Okay.
It might not be. We'll see. This is very, very tentative. We'll do this again at 5:45.
So I got them 4-5.
So do I then.
So you got some work to do to get to 10 wins.
So we got, we both got them 4-5. So we got 9-17, eight games left.
You got to win six of them?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to be wrong.
Yeah, maybe we will fall short. Maybe we will. But I'll pick. Well, we actually there's other games we can do. I mean, theoretically, right? I mean, we don't know what weeks they are, but here, what are the games that
sure,
we know?
Sure, I mean, let's save it, because I think that it matters the where they fall and who they're playing in front of it. You got to know what the momentum feels like. Did you get a couple wins or not? Coming off the L's, all those sorts of things.
All right, Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback at the Giants.
I will give that a win.
Me too. At Jacksonville, win for both of us. Actually, I'll just give wins for games we already have wins for.
Obviously.
Home against Baltimore.
I'm gonna keep that one as an L.
I got that as a W. At Pittsburgh,
I'll give that a W.
Me too. And then wins against the Raiders.
So then,
holy cow, I got them undefeated now. Home against.
I had an L against the Raiders, but I'll turn that into a win.
You had a L against the Raiders
the
on
second,
the second
go round,
second game.
Correct.
All right. Hosting the Washington football team.
Win.
Because we both had those as losses. We now both have them as wins. We both have Detroit as wins. So we go to Las Vegas, and you're going to give that a win now?
Yep.
And I will too. Dude, this is crazy. And
it's Chiefs, not crazy. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Chiefs game, I'll still stick with an L for that. You stick with
an
L for that?
Yeah, I'll keep it.
No. So now you only have two losses.
Yep.
So now you got them 7-2.
Correct.
And I got them 8-1.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, that's what Aaron Rodgers will do for you.
So I have Aaron Rodgers with this part of the schedule a 4-game difference, and you've got it a 3-game difference.
Yes.
Wow. That's huge.
Oh, it's enormous. Of course it is. But that's what the expectation is. You got the league MVP coming in. If he was your quarterback, of course things change. Of course they do. The main reason I've got the first game as a loss is because we're splitting reps in training camp with our starting quarterback. I mean, at what point are we going to decide the starter?
Yeah, I think that's a terrible. I agree. That's a horrible opening game for the Broncos. I think it's really difficult. I think it's bad. I think there's just the only thing good about it, I guess, is that usually when you play those squirrely East Coast games, it feels like a short week. You're traveling at a weird time, all that stuff. I guess that's off the books.
I mean, I'll put it this way. You could easily win the game. As far as road games go, that's a great opportunity to steal one. Week one on the road, it's a great opportunity to steal a road win. I just have got to predict it as an L.
By the way, for the record, even with the Bridgewater locks up, oh, by the way, Teddy Bridgewater throwing the Panthers under the bus today.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, we'll have it for you later. We got Bridgewater tossing bombs at the Panthers.
Perfect.
You have, with Rodgers, it's a slam dunk. We both have them off to an incredible start with Rodgers and a great year. Without Rodgers, we both have him at 2-1. And then we both have him at 2-2. So in the first 4 games, we've got the Broncos off to a decent start. So more to your point, you know, fairly so. If they get off to 0-3 or 1-2, it'll be very disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult to bounce back from that. If you start the season 1-2 or 1-3, dude, the likelihood of you being in the playoffs, it's like next to nothing. That's what it is. We had this same argument last year when the schedule release came out, and then they actually ended up in the situation that we were arguing about, and I was sitting here telling you, dude, it's over. And you're sitting here telling me, nah, it's not. They got a long ways to go. It was over.
I think we knew that in our heart, but, you know, you hate with everything that goes into getting ready for the season and putting all the work in and everything, especially with the COVID stuff.
You're done in week 5.
Yeah. Who wants that?
Nobody.
Nobody wants that. So either way, we've got the Broncos as a compelling team this season. But you know who doesn't have the Broncos as a compelling team? TV. That was a slap in the face. To see for the first time in 29 years, right now, although starting in week 12, Monday Night Football games can be flexed, so we'll see. But right now, as it stands, the Broncos are left off the Monday Night Football schedule for the first time in 29 years.
Unbelievable.
What do you think about that?
The Denver Broncos have always been one of the easiest teams to put on national television. Number one, because you know that they're going to be competitive, but number two, because they've got great nationwide appeal. And to think that we've come so far that we are the only team Well, I don't know about the only team. We'll see how it all comes out. But we only have one primetime game, and that's because you have to it on Thursday night. Right. It's a requirement.
You can't avoid it.
That is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life, and I think that there might actually be something deeper going on there.
Ooh. Well, I look forward to let's get into that. Plus, we'll look at some of the other highlights from the schedule release. And as things drip out and move on, we're not waiting for anything. If we get more information about the schedule, we'll certainly share it with you. So it's going to be a fun day, really fun day. This is the Drive on the Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Just a very quick Rockies update, although Patrick Saunders will join us in a little bit. John Gray had pitched great, 5 2/3, bases were loaded, 1-1. They put in a relief pitcher, and he, I don't even know who it was, but he gave up a grand slam to his first batter. So now the Rockies are losing 5-1. But it's a nice weather day.
Beautiful. Okay. Yes.
Bunch of stuff I want to get into, including that little kid practice football thing, because I understand you got some thoughts about it. So we'll get to that in a second. But you said you had some thoughts about the Broncos only getting one forced, like they don't have a choice, nationally televised game. And on the surface, although games can be flexed starting in week 12, even on Monday Night Football. All right. You had some thoughts that this is basically the least exposed the Denver Broncos have ever been in the history of their club.
That's right. I mean, it's actually insane to think that we literally got the bare minimum. You got the one required Thursday night football game that every team in the NFL gets. And yeah, the Broncos have been bad. And yes, we've been boring. And so I get it for sure. I didn't expect more than two or three primetime football games. But to come down to only one on Thursday night football, dude, I don't think it's as simple as the Broncos are just a bad football team, because the Broncos have always drawn a pretty good appeal on nationwide ratings as far as national TV games go, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that would continue, or at least I thought it would continue. Dude, this is Roger Goodell in the NFL telling the Denver Broncos, we're sick of you.
Yeah.
We are sick and tired of the Denver Broncos being bad at football. We're sick and tired of you guys being dysfunctional. And we're sick and tired of you not having an owner.
Yeah.
So if you don't have an owner there to fight for you, guess what?
Yep.
You get one game, and it's on Thursday night football. It's the required game. That's what you get, because you don't have an owner to sit there and fight me and yell at me. Who's going to sit there and yell at Roger Goodell over this? If we had an owner, you think that somebody's going to be sitting there yelling at him, screaming at him, calling for his head, causing problems? Of course he's going to. You get one football game on prime time, it's because the NFL is sending a message to the Denver Broncos, we are fed up with you.
Mic drop. Mount Palumbus speak, all of it. I mean, that's I couldn't agree with you more.
Mount Palumbus.
We're fed up with you.
You kind of just did. Very well said.
I mean, you're not going to even gamble on the fact that maybe the Broncos are going to get Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to even like, hey, maybe there's a hope and a prayer. Let's throw the Broncos in on one of these. You didn't even get the pity of being the second game of a Monday Night Football doubleheader.
Right.
You can at least get that pity, right?
Well, let me say something to what I'm hoping is supporting your statement, which I think is tremendous and accurate, is the NFL had to create a rule surrounding ownership in terms of a $10 million fine, not because they were going to, but because they had to.
Yeah.
Because the Broncos had just drug their feet. You know, when we had Mike Silver on last week and we patched things up, the truth is I hadn't really had any beefs with Mike Silver for the past couple years. Nothing big. The biggest beef we had is when I asked Roger Goodell at the Super Bowl about Broncos ownership. 6 years ago. And it was like, oh, well, this is why we had a problem, because you brought up something, you know, and I, you know, wasn't all that aware of it. Nobody really was. Tyler, that was 6 years ago. It's ridiculous how long this has gone on for. And it was almost ridiculous back then when not many people knew about it. And the NFL's comment was, we trust the trust. We believe in everything they're doing, if things are being handled the right way. Well, fast forward 6 years, and you're having to pass a rule about a $10 million fine. Well, who do you think that was targeted at? How many other teams out there are having issues like this? Nobody.
Right. So just think for 1 second. You think if Pat Bowlen was sitting here in charge, that Roger Goodell would ever dare give the Denver Broncos one football game, the bare minimum, the requirement. Roger Goodell would be terrified to give him only one game.
You're absolutely right. This is the NFL saying, Denver Broncos, you drug your feet too long, and you lose games.
And you suck. You're boring. You're not all those good things. You've got nobody to scare me, to put me in my place if I only give you one game. I mean, it's an accumulation of all those things. Somebody says, Tyler, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Relax. Primetime coverage does not necessarily equate to a bad football team.
Yes, it
pump
does.
Pump the brakes. What? Like, hey, dum-dum. Like, I joke about me being big dum-dum, D-Mac being little dum-dum. You're the hugest dum-dum. You are officially the hugest dum-dum.
It's the metric.
If you don't think that that is the metric of what a bad football team is, you literally don't understand what football is. What do you think the NFL is doing? They're trying to make money. How do they make money? They put good teams in primetime games so that they will get the most viewership out of it.
Right.
This is exactly the NFL telling you that the Broncos are a dysfunctional organization.
Yeah, they changed their rules about flexing games because they were having too many bad games. No, this is it. This is the ultimate slap in the face. Listen, we're in our own cocoon here because we take this so seriously and we have fun with it, but we look at every minute detail. If you really want to have a 10,000-foot view of the Denver Broncos, the view would be they're practically meaningless in the NFL.
Well, here's something sad. So I said earlier that the Broncos have always done well on national television, and I thought that to be a true statement. Well, this doesn't really help my argument. Check this out. This is from 2020. This is NFL national TV ratings by team. Where do you think the Broncos fall on this list?
In 2020?
2020.
We got to be close to last. I mean, we got to be down at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, we're third to last. The only two teams that are below us are the Miami Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We average 6.6 million viewers per game. Dolphins 5.4, Jags 5.4. So actually, we're second place because they're tied for last place. You go all the way to the top, Cowboys averaged 19.3. Saints averaged 18.3. Bucks averaged 18.3. Seahawks 17.5. We are at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, and the only the reason why Jacksonville and Miami are that low is because it's such two huge transient towns where people come from. I'm sure the interest in the Broncos locally in the Rocky Mountain region is extremely strong.
Oh, yeah.
But that's it. That's it. And it's probably been weakened over the past few years. So at the end of the day, sad to say, that's part of John Elway's legacy, too, as an executive. Sorry. That's why he's the Tim Tebow of executives.
It's actually a miracle that you think that we could have the third worst ratings in all of the NFL, yet we still pack the house every single weekend.
Yeah.
Yet our fans still show up. They're loyal. They love them to death. I mean, it has not affected us here locally in the Rocky Mountain region. But if you look at those other two teams that are below us, look at their stadiums. Yeah. There's nobody in those stadiums.
Yeah. So if you thought...
Well, Tampa's different now, but...
Miami. If you thought that this is not an East Coast bias. This is the reality of the situation. We just don't, you know, focus or hemorrhage on it because we still love the team and we're covering them and all that sort of stuff, and it's important to us. But the NFL just told you and told the Broncos what they thought of what's been going on.
I can't wait to see how many teams have got one primetime game.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. I bet you that there's two.
You can make a prediction.
I bet two. There's going to be one other team that's got only one primetime
game.
Well,
it would see, I would not say the Jaguars are going to be one of them because you want to see Trevor Lawrence.
Of course.
So it's got to be teams that haven't.
They'll have at least three or four.
It'll be a team that hasn't won, that doesn't have an interesting quarterback situation.
Good point.
So who is that? You're right. There probably will only be one or two, maybe others. I mean, think about it. It's hard to think off the top of your head. A losing team with no quarterback.
Philly, maybe. I don't know.
Tough. Big
but
city.
East Coast.
Yeah. Maybe, though. Tricky, though, because they play in a division with the Giants and Dallas, some other huge markets.
There's not going to be many, I'll tell you.
Who is it? Who are stinky teams? Maybe Washington. Keep your eyes on Washington. That might be them.
They were a pretty good team last year.
Yeah, but they all right, that was a weird division. They still were okay. Even they were a playoff team, I guess.
Yeah.
Buffalo, no. Miami, no. Although maybe Miami, but they weren't a losing team last year. Who was the losing team?
I would say the Jets, but they've got Zach Wilson now, so
high interest now,
right?
High interest. It might just be the Broncos.
Panthers might be pretty low.
There you go.
Sam Darnold.
Yep, there you go. Losing record, no quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers. That's a great, I'm not even going to bet you, but we got to look at the Panthers schedule when it comes out. Oh my God, can you imagine if the Panthers have more national TV games than the Broncos? Oh my God.
Oh.
Blake Bortles just got signed by the Packers.
Nice. The heir apparent.
So it wasn't
Chad Kelly.
Oh,
sorry, Chad.
Man, that sucks.
Still got a little whiplash going on. That too soon.
Oh, no, it's never too soon. All right, well, listen, we'll keep you updated. Richie's wearing a suit. Why again, Richie, are you wearing a suit?
Sometimes you just want to look good.
And the Broncos schedule's out. I really am dying for your thoughts about the youth football thing.
Mm.
I am dying. I mean, it's got like 5 million views, so I'm going to assume everybody knows what I'm talking about. And we're supposed to talk to Patrick Saunders. The Rockies are down 5-2. We'll get it all in today. Taking a deep breath. It's a harsh reality check, Tyler. But we'll be all right, you know.
Hey!
We'll be all right.
Look, if we had Aaron Rodgers, we had them only losing two games.
This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We'll get our guy Patrick Saunders on. Rocky's actually coming back a little bit after being down 5-1. It's 5-3, bottom six. Runners on first and second, couple outs, so couple games down there at Coors Field. Beautiful day. The schedule, and we'll really dig into it heavy with football at 4, has the Broncos opening up against the Giants. And we know a good chunk of the schedule. Again, we'll get into it. But I am curious about your reaction to this, viral moment with, what do you want to call the kids, 6, 7 years old, something like that?
If that. They look like they're about 6, probably.
Tackle football, and essentially it's more or less the Oklahoma drill where a running back has a ball and then you...
No, this was, I mean, sort of. I'll break it down.
Okay, anyways, this happens.
Run, run.
Oh, if you haven't seen the video, I think you're one of the few people who hasn't. It literally is all over the place, so it's not hard to find. Go ahead. What'd you see there?
It's just disgusting. It makes me sick. Like, I feel bad for those poor kids. The reality is that's not unusual. Dumb stuff like that is going on all across America in youth football. This drill was similar in nature to the Oklahoma drill, except for this. In the Oklahoma drill, you've got two guys that are lined up on opposite sides of the ball. This one, you had two guys that are starting on the same yard line, But they've got cones that are separated by, I don't know, 8-10 yards or whatever it is. Then they both have to go forwards. So the defender, the only advantage a defender has is momentum. And you've got the ability to go forward and catch them speed with speed, force with force, right? And in this particular drill, you've got one guy that is trailing as the rabbit. You've got one guy as the ball carrier. And then they collide going in the same direction. Of course, the ball carrier is going to run him over. They're both going in the same direction. It's idiotic. It makes me sick. Stuff like this borderline makes me feel like football just, if it can't be done right, it shouldn't be done at all for little kids. This is the exact reason why my kid will not be playing youth football until at least middle school. I don't think that you've done anything wrong as a parent if you choose to play your son younger than that in football or your daughter, but it's always going to be an individual choice, and kids develop at such a different rate that you got to really make that call based on the personal development of your kid. This did not teach the kid anything. I saw a guy on the text line saying that he does this drill with little kids, and it's all about the matchups. And if you get it with the right matchup, it's okay. Hey, all due respect to you, buddy. Don't ever do that drill again. Ever. Take it out of your system. Don't ever do that drill again. You are not teaching the kids anything. And I would challenge you to tell me, what is it that you are teaching the kids with this drill? What are you teaching them about football? Because when you've got 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, you don't have to teach those kids how to be tough. Teach them how to play the game. Teach them how to be athletic. It's not about who can bowl who over, who can be more mentally or physically tough. Yeah, I get it. As you get older, of course, toughness plays into it. Not when you're 6, 8 years old. Teach the kids how to play football.
And just checking, you've played in the National Football League.
Correct.
And have a Super Bowl ring.
Yes, but I would be very curious. The texter that said that you've done it and it's all about matchups, as long as you've got the right matchup, mm-hmm. Tell me what you're teaching the kids with this drill.
I was just checking out your qualifications for that opinion. Gotcha.
Well, I appreciate you. Seriously, I do. But I don't get it.
Well said. Patrick Saunders, our fan Rockies insider, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino, joins us right now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Patrick, we got a nice game going right now. Rockies made a bit of a comeback. What's the latest and greatest with the Rockies here today?
What do we got here, guys? 5-3 going into the seventh, so the final inning, supposedly, of a
I forgot. This is one of these goofy seven-inning games, so this is it.
Yeah, we're in the seventh. So, you know, John Gray pitched a great game. He got in trouble in the top of the sixth. Walked two. There was an error. They loaded the bases. Buddy Black decided to go to the bullpen and flip the switch. They hit a grand slam off Robert Stevenson, and Padres were up 5-1. Rockies just scored two, so they're back in this a little bit. It's 5-3, but frustrating day, I'm sure, for John Gray because throwing the ball really, really well.
Yeah, pitch well.
Yeah, you know, Patrick, it's hard to even ask about the specifics of the games at this point because it's just, gosh, what does it even matter? I guess I'm just more curious about big picture stuff. Where are we at with Trevor Story? It feels like Bill Schmidt more or less told us that he's going to trade him. That's got to be a weird moment here for Trevor over the next few weeks, months, as he knows he's just in no man's territory. What's the latest?
Yeah, he's in limbo, guys. I think Trevor is very aware that he's not coming back here at the end of the year. I think we all know that. How soon the Rockies can pull a deal that gives them some decent returns, some decent prospects, I don't see that happening quickly. I think that's going to materialize in late June, early July, unless a team like the Yankees, for instance, might do something like that. They're the only team I could see pulling a trade early. But, you know, give Trevor credit. He's keeping his mouth shut. He's playing hard. He's playing pretty well. But, yeah, I think Trevor knows that his time in Colorado is short.
All right, Patrick. Well, we'll let you slide because we know the game's right. I really did forget it's this dumb seven-inning thing. There's nobody within the organization, players, coaches, other people that think this is a good idea, do they? The seven-inning thing?
What? You know, I think it's mixed. I don't think the players particularly mind it, to tell you the truth.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't.
All right.
You know, they figure, you know, rainouts and getaway days and all that kind of stuff. I don't think they mind it that much at all, truthfully.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, guys.
All right. Patrick Saunders, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. So Patrick is telling us baseball players want to just work less.
Yeah, who would want to play six straight hours of baseball?
MLB The Show is available for PlayStation and Xbox consoles at theshow.com. If you're caller for now, you win a copy of MLB The Show 21 for PlayStation 4. That is cool. 303-713-1043. Let's dig into it, what we know about the schedule. Football at 4 is next.